Welcome to the Manifesting Clarity Podcast, the show that empowers you to unlock your full potential and create the life you've always dreamed of. I'm your host, Jen Roth, and I am beyond grateful to be here with you today. Welcome back, friends. Welcome, new friends. I'm so happy to be here with you today. I have a dear sister, Melanie, with me. So excited about what we are going to dive into, the conversation that we're already having, the light and synergy that this podcast brings my heart, and I hope your heart and your spirit as well, is tremendous. So Melanie is a German native who's living in Greece, which I'm really excited about, and has played in the world of PR and global relations, and is now focused on the mental health of athletes and focused on the film festival that is coming about for amateur athletes. I am going to hand this over to you, as I don't even think I can begin to describe and explain who you are and what you're up to. Will you share with us? Thank you, Melanie, for joining us today. And tell us a bit about where your focus is right now and who you are and what you're up to in the world.
Hi, Jen. So great to be on this podcast with you. Yeah, I would love to exchange about our journeys, because I was just basically for 15 years running a PR agency, which I still do. But I put this business a bit on the backside because it didn't fulfill me. And I want to do what I think more people should do, like focus on their passions. And this led me actually to start a film festival, like you just said, like about amateur athlete stories, where I then discovered it's a lot about overcoming adversities and challenges in lives. And the stories were just like so emotional and so great, whether it's through solo sports or community sports, how you can really overcome the hardships of life. This is what most of the films that the filmmakers from around the world submitted were about, that you can really overcome this through putting your focus on just getting your blood pumping in your body, or meeting up every week with the same group of people that you meet. Maybe you normally wouldn't meet up, but you share, you know, the sports, and then you also stick together through tough times. And yeah, so this is really fulfilling right now. And I am more and more putting the resources of my team from the PR agency business, where we more and more serve just corporates, you know, which is really not purpose or value driven, but we, you know, we do the communications works in this realm as if it was the case. But this is a lot of bubbles and not really, you know, the content I want to put out in the world, or where I want to put all my energy into. And yeah, so this film festival, actually, I was just thinking, like, okay, I met these amazing people that were also traveling for their sports, that were, you know, in their 40s or 50s, fit, you know, super fit. You don't have to, not everybody looks like a fit body, you know, it comes also in all different shapes and sizes and forms. But you know, like, okay, they can last. These people are durable, you know. So there were a lot of, especially women that were older than me that I met, you know, when they were surfers in their 50s, you know, and or coming to Greece for mountain climbing to explore new mountains that no one climbed before. And I never really saw them in the entertainment world, in the film world. And so I connected with all these filmmakers from all around the world, and they actually have amazing film productions on these topics. So we collected the best of these, and we're going to show it in Athens in May. And you told me that you also work with athletes, which I want to know more about.
Yeah, I love that this is what you're up to. And I personally have a vision that came through recently of wanting to interview all my mentors who have affected my life along the way and have conversations with them about certain key pieces of my life that opened a new door or a new conversation or way of looking at life. So I love when visions bubble up for us and desires bubble up for us. Have you ever done anything with films before? How did you choose sports and athletes and all? Can you tell us more about how all this came to fruition? And congratulations as well to follow the light and follow your passion when something that you built is lighting you up and not fully lighting you up as much anymore, right?
Yeah, thank you so much for saying this, for giving your congrats, because actually it was much harder than I thought, you know, because I thought, okay, I'm 15 years into public relations business, going great. I'm just going to do something new, put all the resources I have into something new. It was much harder this year than I thought it would, than I would have ever thought. But now everything's coming together. Now it's the end of this road, but basically I was starting from zero again. But with PR, so I was born and bred in Berlin. And when I was in my early 20s, Berlin really flourished with the creatives. They were coming from all over the world and to just be free in Berlin. It was a like really fascinating, amazing time. And then I actually was just all about, like, I was with artists and musicians and designers. Just this was just my network. This was just my world. I didn't know anyone I want to say like normal job. I just didn't. This was just this bubble that I was in that I loved. And I just found out that I'm really, you know, because I loved it so much and I'm really good at promoting this and bringing this to the world and do global media campaigns for it, that I made it a business. And but then Berlin, you know, developed real fast. So many corporate offices, our clients became bigger, which you want, you know, you want your clients to come with bigger budgets. We're not really able to work with artists anymore or musicians. But then, you know, I have to say, I realize now the clients burnt me out. So when you work, usually we work with a client like for 2 or 3 years. But then you realize, like, okay, like I'm a workaholic. I love my work. So I put in so many hours in the weekends, which I shouldn't, but I do. But then for what? For a corporate where it's usually ego-driven and they're a C-level suite, you know, who gets the quotes in the press and, you know, all the efforts suggesting, like, okay, there should, you know, should be a woman in the C-level suite. Or there, you should start making a real effort for social impact now that you got your Series A funding with 20 million. You know, we should do something there. No, there's not enough money. You know, like this, but still, like, they wanted this communications as if it was, you know, purpose driven and value based, which it wasn't. And behind the scenes were so ugly, so old fashioned. And I work with clients from Switzerland, the US, UK, also Germany. And you would think like they're like on top of this, right? But they're not. They're also nearshore or offshore offices in, for example, in Eastern Europe. where they didn't treat the people like it was the 50s, you know. And so it's you get I got burned out from then realizing, you know, oh my God, I was working with this client for 2 years and now I realize like they don't have any values. It's just about their ego. They would just, you know, yeah, it's just profit driven or ego driven. So it's like, no.
How did you choose the athletes that you have for this film for bringing, and are you the creator of the film festival, or are you what's your
I'm
role?
the creator, exactly. So I wanted to, sorry, yeah, good that you're bringing me back. So basically, I was always in the creative industries and I was part of quite a few film festivals organizing these. So I know how to organize a film festival. And I wanted in my career, because I was basically being a PR consultant or a publicist is a service business. I wanted to be more entrepreneurial, but also like on my own terms. So I'm now everything I do is just where I'm the creator of things, but I form a community around it. So it's not about me. What, you know, I put the idea out there, test it, which I did, you know, ask all these filmmakers. They were delivering amazing material. I was like, okay, we need to do something with it. But now there is a whole community involved that I'm out of the decision making. It's not as, you know, there are film jurors in there, there are volunteers in there, there are this my team in there. And I let them make a lot of the decision and processes. So I don't take the creative direct, maybe a bit, you know, maybe a bit the creative direction, but it's more community led now, the whole process. And it's going, so we will have the festival. We now got a hotel partner and they want to, we want to make this a streaming platform, and they have actually 25 hotels in the world, you know, where they want to show, where they potentially will show it to their guests, hotel guests, which is great. So everywhere where there's a door opening, I'm just following this. So because it was so hard to set up something from the ground, I realized, okay, I just like go step by step. I can't make like a plan and then we go, this is the plan. But you know, where are opportunities, where are doors opening, and going with this, which I also think maybe this would be great to hear from you. I think since last year, where these powerful technologies are really now everywhere coming up and empower us, but also take away from our processes. So we're in this fast change. I feel like everything is now more better done day by day and with opportunities opening up. Did you have a similar experience?
You know, it's a great question. I'm not sure if it's a personal experience and where I am on the planet and age and experience and time in business, which I feel is sort of similar. I started the tea company around 15 years ago in my mind, right? And bringing the pieces together, officially started it and started selling in 2012. But was building it before then. And I was having a conversation with a coaching client earlier today who, two of them, one who is further along in the business and ready, like focused on selling and next steps, legacy. And then the other one is brand new. And so the perspectives are so vastly different, right? Of experience and stressors and knowing what's coming and having the pattern every year of what's coming through. And yet at the same time, we're evolving so quickly, that there's certain things cellularly for me that I know and am practicing of being in the present moment. Like I know I'm being led to the next best place. And I'm trusting it at a level that I never have before. Whereas I knew it to be real, yet I didn't fully like I kind of dabbled in it, right? I believed it, and there was a part of me that really felt it to be true, but wasn't fully trusting it. And now every day when I wake up, it's like, oh, there's the sign. Oh, there's the next person. Oh, there's the next door that's opening, right? And when you open the door, what I am realizing for myself is I'm coming more of my authentic whole self when I walk through the door instead of kind of tiptoeing in, or I wonder what's in here, or is this really real? I don't know if that resonates or makes sense, but I feel like I'm doing that in my personal life. I'm doing that in my business. I'm doing that in the coaching world that I live in, which is my most resonant. So kind of like the film bringing all of that together. None of building a business, I don't really believe is necessarily easy. And yet I do believe when we're on the right path and or on a path that we're here on purpose to be aligned with, the doors, maybe more doors start coming, or we see more doors, or we open more doors. I'm not sure. I'm super curious what your thoughts are on all of that.
What you just said now, I had a really hard time over the last year to learn it. So when I moved as a German, Germans are always trained to all your values, your bank account statement, and your title. So you're this your whole identification, and it gets worse. So I wanted to escape that. I came to Greece to where the people totally live in the present. But then some years passed, and I wanted to take full charge of my business because I was like, okay, I'm now N30. I worked on this for 15 years. It's going great. I'm gonna now. It's going very good at that time. So I'm now gonna bring it to a higher level and put it all in, you know. So, but then I actually lost control of the whole things, and life really taught me I have to surrender. But it took me about a year painful process to realize like none of this what you were taught from in business school or whatever to have your plan and follow this plan. It doesn't work like this. You can't just make up the numbers and then this is your goal and this motivates you. So you're gonna achieve the goals and put in the resources. Like you learned, it doesn't work like this anymore. You have to be in the present, and the whole frameworks change every day. Consumer behavior changes so much, like or investment behavior, because there's the world is changing so fast. Also, it's fragile and on a global level. So we're so connected. There's a war that in one country that affects the whole world for sure. I had to learn this too, because I was like really motivated to take charge, and now I was like, I'm N30, now I'm gonna bring it to the next level. I'm gonna make this big full bang. And I basically ran into a wall several times. I'm not someone who learns fast until I realized like, oh, it's not, you know, I can't demand this right now. I need to go with the times. And like you said, like see the opportunities and just like really fully embrace them when they come. But I didn't anymore. I didn't embrace it. I was like, oh no, that's everything's, you know. I didn't appreciate the opportunities were coming in until they weren't coming in anymore for a while. It was like life giving me a hard lesson. So, a good lesson I can say now that I'm out of. It would have been nice if I learned faster, but I'm slow to adapt.
Yeah, and I feel like you're right on time, right? So it just depends on the speed and velocity of the size of the roller coaster too, right? Like how much of an investment you put in is potent, like the potential is the complete opposite, right? Or like you're gonna fall faster and quicker, or your stomach is gonna drop in a different regard if these things don't work. And yet our risk tolerance is like higher, like, oh, this could be really fun. And so if you're doing
Exactly.
multiple of those fast, then maybe you're going to learn quicker. And if you do a couple of them in a slower pace, then the going down the roller coaster is going to, we're really going to feel it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I was all in, invested all I had, and put in everything, and it didn't lead to the usual scaling that you would expect because times are different right now. But it led me to a whole different path, which is like my own ventures. One of this, the film festival, where I get to explore not just my passions, but also like all the other, I would say, talents that I have. So I love coding. So I can code all my projects, you know, and I love the content production and different and branding. And with PR, it was just so focused on the publicity work, just one part. But now I can just do whatever I like. And I now start meeting people that are on the same journey. They find projects that they're passionate about, make it sustainable, and then maybe go to the next project. And it works for people if they're on a certain frequency. And I think this is also like the secret to be appreciative of every opening, because there's so many opportunities each day. If there were more, I couldn't even handle it right now, to be honest. But yeah, but I was doing it the old-fashioned way for some reason. I always claimed like, oh, I'm very future oriented, but I wasn't. I was doing a real old-fashioned way and had to realize a lot of things. Now I think I'm out of the learning curve, but like you said, like we have to learn until the end of our days, which I always say, like I'm not happy, which I always make fun of, that I say like I'm not happy about this, you know, I want the learning to be over, because it's not always easy, right? There are like two types, like learning journeys can be easy for people that understand fast. I seem to not understand fast, so I'm always getting like doing the same mistake three times before I understand, you know, it gets painful. Yeah,
painful. And I think it really helps us get closer to our heart and figure out what we really, really want. I don't feel like we would know what we want if we didn't have the discomfort, right? To say, oh my gosh, no, thank you. Like, that does not feel good. And I don't want to do that again. So we get to go in more eyes wide open, ideally more heart wide open into the choices and that sort of thing. And turn the volume down on what other people think and want and what we thought we wanted through their eyes and through their life, and turn the volume up on what we do want.
Exactly. Exactly. It's actually not so easy to figure out. Because I pride myself in that I did so many things at a very young age. You know, I dropped in everywhere. So I was so proud that I found what I was going to do, being a publicist, you know, quite early. But now it's actually leading somewhere else, you know. Of course, I got the skills to run global media campaigns, which is very helpful. I actually want to do my own products and just use it for real good partnerships. But tell me also like how you got into the athlete lives. I don't think I answered your question. So how I actually got obsessed with sports is through the corporate clients. They made me so angry in the end that I, you know, started boxing, then kickboxing, then martial arts. And then, you know, I just overdid it. So I broke my wrist. I had to stop for a while. But this is how much in the end they got me angry, right? So I went to training twice per day. So I completely overdid it and only took a forced break through a big cast on my arm. And but yeah, I still love sports, but I know I overdid it for sure. How do you get into the athletes?
Yeah, I I grew up in a neighborhood that had two girls who were a handful of years older than me across the street. And I from the youngest memory I have, which couldn't have been when we first moved there because I was four when that happened. And they were always playing softball or throwing the ball and playing catch in the street. And so between that and then other kids in our neighborhood were playing hockey. And my grandpa came from Sweden. He was born in Sweden and played for the Olympic hockey team and water polo. And so there was always some talk of that. My grandma played baseball during World War II of like when everyone was over, and she was totally one of those girls. So I can remember from being a kid saying, I'm going to be the first professional female out on the men's baseball fields. I don't know where I got that from, but it's been in me ever since I was little. And those two girls across the street mentored me and they allowed me to play with them. And then I learned and I had a fair amount of like my own inner talent and yet was able to play with ladies, women that were a couple years older than me. So they were better and I wanted to be as good as them. So yeah, it was really super fun to have that. And I personally didn't do so hot in school. So education and reading and all of the traditional way of learning was not my total cup of tea. So when you're saying like the blood that's moving in your body and the shift in your thoughts and like the chemical reaction that's happening, as well as your personal experience of the anger, right? Getting to move that frustration and irritation out of your body is transformative in such a big way. And recently I'm working with professional basketball coach, and my curiosity, even as I watch right now, we have nieces playing soccer and playing volleyball. And as I watch our oldest niece play volleyball, I can see like the demeanor and their whole shift and change of when things aren't going well, if they don't get a serve over, or if they're not like receiving and bringing the pass, bumping the pass back over immediately. And they got hit, nailed with three serves in a row that are off to the side and not responding the same way. Their whole demeanor shifts and changes. And I personally am super sensitive being in person, and I would get to like tears in that moment or something, right? And then there's a shift and change that happens where all of a sudden you begin to like bring that energy back instead of have that pity party. So I have so much curiosity right now with how we can influence. I already know athletes are doing this on a regular basis, right? They're meditating, they're visualizing, they're really working on things, but how can we work with our youth at a younger age to know we have a choice in that moment? Like, yes, you can feel and sense and see and experience crap that didn't go the way I wanted. And just as fast as that happens, we can recreate and tell ourselves a story of, okay, I'm back in. I've got this. I have the capacity to do this, or, you know, rewrite the entire script. And if the coaches are working with the youth and or, you know, major athletes, minor athletes, however, wherever they are in this whole entire journey, it's a whole different game. And I even heard Tony Robbins mention it a couple times of him taking people back. So they get in a funk. A lot of professional athletes have gotten in a funk and then hired him or other people like that. And he takes them back and watches their best games and has them watch the plays and the tapes of that, because they get to connect with their self when they're completely in flow and everything is working for them. So that's a little bit of where my passion comes from for athletes and sports.
This is awesome. So I discovered with the amateur athletes, there are about three journeys, like the professional athlete, the afterlife. You know, you don't only live up until you're 30. There's a life after, like you just said. Like, this is a big, interesting topic. And then people that just later become amateur athletes, or like they win medals, you know, at triathlons and marathons, wherever. But then also just this, what we need to teach in my personal opinion, that not every sport that you pursue as a young person needs to lead you to become a professional. It's totally okay that you're just like medium good at, I don't know, I loved volleyball. I was playing it in Germany, but I'm a very small German, like for a German. So they told me right away, I was playing it my whole, since I was a child, every day was so obsessed with it till I was a teenager. And they told me, yeah, okay, there's no chance because you're like too small. But this was never, you know, I was never interested in it. Why not just let me play volleyball, you know, and just doing it for the sake of doing. We have this amazing film, just to give you an example. It's about Jamshid. So he's an Iranian immigrant to the US originally. And he's a school counselor in Seattle, in a district where it has a lot of mainly immigrant kids and kids that they don't have many resources. And he teaches them through ultimate frisbee. This is again like a sports where you're better when you're tall because you can catch, you know, this fast frisbee. But it's not about that. He teaches them, you know, like just about just playing it, just having fun with it, and how to behave as a team. You know, and then they have this goal to go to this championship where they're just usually private schools, you know, and this is really and then you see Jamshid, he to deal and handle with these stories of these underprivileged kids that he works with every day. He started swimming in the local river, but then he became, you know, like he started swimming faster and further. And then he started traveling the world for different championships, and that he won the gold medals. Entrepreneurs are now like, there's this trend in the startup scene between entrepreneurs to step out of your comfort zone. So that's the whole motto. There's actually, I have a film where they just three startups from France, and the entrepreneurs, the founders, they just sign up for a sports challenge each year. And then this year they signed up for there's a marathon on Mount Everest. So it's not climbing Mount Everest, which would be it's a marathon on Mount Everest. And I thought, okay, they're sitting there all day long, just at their laptops. None of them looks like they leave their chair much, you know. They're not going to survive this marathon, you know? But they do. And then you also see like the locals attending this marathon. So this is also really great. This, you get to discover places, but also this, I find it so fascinating that it's now this new trend within the startup world to say, okay, once a year, we're going to get out of our comfort zone, going to do something hard. You also have to learn how to balance things, you know.
So neat that you're doing this. I feel like stories for me are, before I started this podcast and now even, it's something that helps my brain track and know that there's potential and expansion and possibility, and having conversations with people every day and meeting people like you who are in a different part of the world. And I'm learning about where there might be pressure put on us, being able to rewrite our own script and choose these things. And we live at such a unique, interesting time where something that we say in clarity in this personal growth and development world is the field of all possibilities. Like there's truly a field of all possibilities that we live in. And do we have our blinders on, or are we taking them off so that we can see that whole perspective? It's so fun. Such a gift.
If we would have connected a year earlier, you could have already told me like, okay, there's a world of possibilities. But then I was just so in this, you know, like trying to make things work according to my plan that doesn't work. And like I mentioned earlier, it takes me very long to realize things. And I think like this is also where you come in. I feel like community is and exchange is so important. But also what you're doing as a coach is very important. These are things like that I also, want to know more about like your approach. So you basically, you just started saying like, okay, there's the world full of possibilities. Take it. What other wisdoms do you have? Give me some. I need it.
One of the questions that transformed my life, and I shared this a little bit ago as the year started, this may or may not align and be helpful or supportive, but when I first went through my clarity, one of the questions is, if I'm Santa Claus and you can have anything you want in the whole world, what would it be? And so that's a different way of saying there's this world of all possibilities. And yet there's something magical about that, depending on what your history and background may be and belief system. So that's one. And another could be like, if you won the lottery, right? What would you do, or how would you explore? And there's the money piece that comes through, right? On maybe initial materialistic things. And then once you keep going through that, what I feel like we get to is your values, right? That you're sharing and talking about, and your core values of what really lights your heart on fire and what really makes a difference. And so often we don't get to figure that out until we go through an experience of, oh, I think going and working with corporations is going to be something that really works. And you get in that experience and then you realize, oh, well, huh, there might be 20 million coming through in their Series A, and very interesting and curious, where's their contribution going? No make wrong. Like, that's their choice. And what's aligned for you is something so different. So now go follow, you know, the next step, which I feel like is so important for the doors opening, right? Like, oh, that's a door. No, thank you. I'm going to close that one. Oh, here's a door. I want to walk in and have a party with some of these people, which is that community and exchange too. And it means so much more when we're getting to do that with vibrational frequency, like you were saying earlier, that is aligned with other people that are doing incredible things in the world, like this immigrant who is able to work with immigrants at this school and then also work on himself and be able to become a stronger swimmer, and found out, oh my gosh, I want to go do this all over the world.
I also love that you say, like, okay, with the Santa Claus make a wish, that you say, like, okay, then peeling it back and open the doors and see if it's something that is truly for you. Because I realized what I wished for was not the best for me. Life for a while, I didn't leave life to give me things that might be much better for me that I didn't realize, right? I adopted a stray dog, which I had no intention to. It was just the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I just am so obsessed with this dog, and we love each other so much. Would you have asked me about a year ago, just a couple of months before I adopted her, I would have said, like, no way there is a dog fitting in my life. There's no chance, no plans for a dog. It just came to my life and I just said, yes, okay. It's very cute. I can't say no. I realized that we might not even know what is truly the greatest thing for us, and we need to leave some room for this. But then also, like you said, like, open the doors, and there might maybe things where we spend our time where we realize, oh, that's not for us.
Deepak Chopra talks about the space in between, and we're so focused on what we can see and feel and not the space around us or all the space in between all the things. And there's more space than there is stuff, right? Or things. So when we actually open into that space and we make room for the unknown, then more comes to us in a different way, right? It's a more fulfilling way. It's a more nourishing way than the goals and achieve and go and do. And I feel like there's for many of us on the planet, that is what we're trained and or taught to do, right? Especially if we've gone to any kind of traditional schooling system. You get in, you do it, you complete it, you go to the next one. You get in, you do it, delete it, go to the next one. And then all of a sudden, when you look up one day, you're like, what am I doing? Where am I? What do I want? I have a coaching client that I'm working with right now who's literally never really asked herself. She's like, I can't believe I've been on the planet for, I don't know how old she is. I think she might be in her early 40s as well. But for the first time, she's truly pausing to figure out what is it that I want? I've ever really asked myself what I want. And she has more of a people pleaser tendency. So she's been either putting out a fire or doing what someone else needs, or, and that's been fulfilling to some extent, but not like the deepest part of when I feel like there's this piece of when we're at the, by ourselves at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, but mine tends to happen at the end of the day. Is my heart happy, or am I seeking or searching or attempting to numb or run away from something? And when I realized that most of my life was made up of seeking or wanting to numb or run away from something, I wasn't doing what I feel like I came here to do, which is to be fulfilled and to figure out how to play and to, yes, make money and generate a life and that sort of thing while doing it. But there's so much more in this space. And I personally love living in the mountains. There's this expansiveness of like, oh my goodness, like there really is a world that we live in of infinite possibility. Like there's a peak that's so far over there and who knows how long it'll take to get there, right? And there's just, you could see forever, and it really helps open my being and my mind. And another thing that you shared just a moment ago is when we start with this, if I'm Santa Claus and you can have anything you want, many people say they don't know. And that's one of their first questions is, gosh, I don't know.
This is interesting. Because I always felt like that I'm like strong minded and know what I want. But now I came to another realization that this might not, you know, the bigger picture, yes, but the details and, you know, the certain steps might not be on my journey, and because they might not be for me and it might not be super fulfilling. So I need to leave space for this. Again, like the balance thing, which also is very hard for me to learn that everything needs to be in balance, right? But then, like you said, like leave the room for how it's going to evolve. We need to be so agile and open for everything.
Because what we really want is in there, and we tell ourselves all the time. So it's, are we honoring it or are we not? Are we telling ourselves a story about what we want, or are we telling ourselves we can have it? Are we telling ourselves that there's like, are we meeting every single limiting belief about it? Or are we matching it? If you would have met all the limiting beliefs for the film festival, filmmakers wouldn't have provided you with their materials. They would have been cricket. You believed in it and you were honoring that part of yourself, and you were flooded with all of this phenomenal material that you get to choose right now. And now you have a vision of, this is the first film festival that we're creating in May. And I see this as being an annual film festival to honor more and more and focus on mental health and really support these athletes as well as the world, right? And those are the breadcrumbs that you'll continue to follow and unfold.
Yes, exactly. And I learned to now enjoy that journey more again, like I did initially when I started. Okay, now I'm focusing on PR, building a PR business. I just enjoyed, you know, the process every day. And I need to get back to this without these high expectations of everything, you know, being at some point, because there's like, there were timelines, you know, I'm already in business since 15 years and, you know, like putting all this pressure on myself. But I want to know also from you, like there's this teaching around in the spiritual world to not talk about what you want, but what you need. But this need could also be, oh, this is what I need to fulfill my purpose. I was actually talking with my spiritual consultant, and we digged out that my granny always said to me, you You're not allowed to want anything, you know, in this harsh way. Spiritual consultant said, like, oh, you know, so basically she forbid you to want anything, you know, which might be okay, because now there's like this hype about it shouldn't really be about wanting. It should be about, what do you need? Obviously, I think my granny is always right, because she's my granny. Although it sounds like very harsh, you know, to educate a child, like, you don't have to, you're not allowed to want anything. Probably I made a lot of demands as a kid, I don't know. Maybe there is something, some truth in this, that it should be about what you need to fulfill your purpose.
Thank you for what you just shared. And what do you need mean to you, especially, I guess, linked to your purpose?
I broke it down. It's much simpler. Just need people to believe, some core people to believe in the project, and opening, you know, their resources and networks for it, because they want to be part of it. And we're busy already with that, you know. It's much, much simpler and much more efficient. Like, also, if you look at it in a business way, of course, like, everyone can just shovel in, you know, money. Let's say you get an investment, and then just boost something to be seemingly successful. But, you know, the true success is this organic growth of something that nurture it to be sustainable. Again, like, goes against the whole business teachings. But I think we're in this time now. Like, last year, the stats came out, hardly any investments done from VCs into startups, because it didn't make any sense anymore. They didn't believe in the whole system. It goes more to organic growth and sustainable growth, whereas before it was all about, like, let's put it in and there are less risks because we blow it up, you know, with ads and make it look successful. And it doesn't matter if it's for 3 years, just doesn't make any profit. But I think these times are over, and it's for the better.
Yeah, well, and I feel like it's personal journeys too, right? There's been a fair number of people that I've spoke to recently who are in tech and are having VCs invest in startups, and that's sort of a world in and of itself, right? And then there's all kinds of ways to do this life, which I feel like is one of the magical pieces. There's a way for us to play in the sandbox that feels most resonant and right for us. And I personally am in a place of learning about the genuine, I guess it comes back to, for me, to fulfillment of the organic growth. Once I've experienced what I think is going to bring something in my business or create a trajectory or be the thing that knocks it out of the park. And for myself, I had a vision. I did very traditional way, right, of creating a business plan, which I do feel like is helpful for your brain to understand certain aspects of things and to maybe map out and play with a few different ideas and run some numbers and see, like, is there going to be possible profit? Is there not going to be possible profit? Even though it's all made up. So one thing that I do believe about this life is really that majority of it is all made up. I don't know if that feels resonant to anyone else, but the more I explore every day, I'm making up the energy that I create every day. I'm either showing up positive and exuding a yes and possibility and high, and I can't wait to live this life, and I'm so curious about who you are, what you're doing, where I could show up super low vibrational frequency, focused on everything that's not working and all the load that I'm carrying, and talk about it and be in that slow, low, dense vibrational frequency, which I personally don't enjoy. It feels better when I am in the positive frequency, and to be of operating from gratitude there as well as experience. So I thought that my business was going to be in what I wanted for the tea company, let's say, was to be in big box stores and sold everywhere. But that's all I had heard. So I didn't really know that there were other ways and opportunities. And then I started having relationships with other people in the industry, and they had successful Amazon-based companies. And a lot of that Amazon sales was producing revenue and profit for them to go to trade shows and to do other things in their business that they were testing out to see if they wanted to be in grocery or if they wanted to be in big box stores. And like you say, so many things have shifted. Many of those stores don't even exist anymore. And it could have gone the other way, right? It could have been all stores and nothing online, possibly. Like we have no clue. So being agile and changing, being able to change and pivot quickly, I do think too is part of the business journey. But what I believe to be true is what you're saying of when we are focused on a need or what is the bare bones that it could really take in order to make this operate. When we're there, not that it always has to be from that perspective, but when we are genuinely aligned with that and have massive gratitude for it, and then we believe in the product, we believe in what it is that we're doing, the organic growth and that simple philosophy and structure is what will take us soaring or to wherever we want to be, if we want that, right? It might not be at all what we want. So, and yet that it's creating the impact and the wave in the world. So I don't know if that resonates with you or not, but I do believe that the traditional business plan is a nice possible start for some people to wrap their head around, but I'm not sure many of them that have aligned or followed that. After this conversation today, I'm so excited to actually ask business owners, did you follow your business plan?
Yeah, but you're right now that you said it, because I did the pitch decks, which are similar to a business plan, right? The playing around with numbers and seeing where there's actually business models in the different opportunities you have with your concept to earn money is actually important. Yes, you're right. I forgot about this. And also go-to-market strategy to play around so that it's not just, oh, we put money into Google ads and Instagram ads, you know. But then there's this big problem. This, I think, like, is my problem. Then if you get an investor in, they insist on, okay, these are numbers, so these are your goals, and you said you would focus all the money to put it into this. So all the opportunities that may come, you have to ignore and build something that might not reach product market fit. So this is, I think, like a thing, you know, where they can block each other out at the moment, VCs and startups, because to just be blindly so focused on your thing right now for a year to build this, it doesn't work so much anymore, because in 3 months' time, there might be a new disruptive technology where the whole world changes, like it just does right now in the last 3 years. It just changes so suddenly. So you would need to, but investors wouldn't give you the opportunity to just pivot, right? And say like, okay, we take the million that you gave us and we just put it somewhere else. You know, it wouldn't work.
Well, and so, I think that's you bring in a valuable point of really asking for, now we're going back to a want, but a potential need in a business and in dialogue and conversation to say, this is what's happening in the world. And if this pivots and changes, the money is not going to be used there. It's going to be used over here. But that takes a seasoned person. I don't know a person at the beginning of a startup that is doing it purely on their own that's going to know that's a possibility, right? Because they're going to learn on the bumpy road going along and go, oh, I just hit that pothole. Like, that one didn't work. Whereas for us who have been in the world for a while in business, we've seen that, right? And now it is happening much more rapidly. So you can have those conversations. I remember having a conversation with an investor who was like, I asked and said, what happens if this doesn't work? Because nobody was bringing that to the table. And there's a big potential, right? There's more space than there is physical things. There's big potential that it doesn't work. And he said, I've fallen and skinned my knee, and there hasn't been a time that I haven't fallen and skinned my knee that I haven't learned from it. And that was huge for me, as well as he could see and named that. He was like, I don't know if you've had enough leadership training in your life. That's my one concern in this area. And it was pure truth. So the more that we're truthful with ourselves, and the more that we're truthful with whomever it is that we're in business with, I do think that there's a ton of synergy and trust that gets built from that as well. That is part of the magic that we can't really see either, right? We've got the belief, we've got trust, we've got organic growth, and you can't take these stories away from these people that you're getting to share with the world, right? Like, it is real. It is like, it is theirs. It's happened. It's what they're doing to overcome something in their life.
Also, I actually now get to enjoy this, that we're coming, what I believe is a much more sustainable world. People are more community focused, and what I mentioned earlier, that I believe, like, they're more focused on growing organically, but also on their own entrepreneurship journey, you know, like with things like getting out of the comfort zone, for example, with, you know, sports challenges every year. Yeah, I wish that for the Sports Film Festival, our major focus is, or what I want to bring to the world, is that everyone finds, you know, the sports that they're interested in. Because a lot of people think of, including fitness in their life, just going to the gym. And they may not, you know, be hyper about that. So, but there's so many different sports. And through the films, we really, I really hope, you know, to inspire people to find the sports that they want to try. Because I believe there's a sport for everyone, that for anyone that they could love, you know, and that would enrich their life. But also in entrepreneurship, I find entrepreneurship equally fulfilling. And I wish that more people just do what they're passionate about, you know. And very often this is mostly possible through entrepreneurship. It can be small businesses, small scale projects, or projects that are just for a limited amount of time, you know. But this is just also very wonderful. And I think, like, we're being pushed for self-development a lot in entrepreneurship, which can be tough, but
it's intense as heck.
And
wonderful. And ideally, you stay long enough in entrepreneurship to learn how incredible it is and find the team or community in your journey that helps you continue to grow, whether it is a small project or a short project or something like that. I love how you describe and share that. I do see that as incredibly fulfilling. There's so many, oh my gosh, there's so many things that we can be doing in the world, just like so many different sports. And that is really inspiring too. I do believe as well that there is a sport for every person on the planet, or a movement form for every person on the planet that they could indulge in and will fulfill them and help with moving their blood and getting their body. We're a magical machine, and blood flow and creating our internal pharmacy is definitely a big key.
Exactly. So we forgot about the body for such a long time because we're just sitting down all day. But the body is so important to keep it in movement for that the whole, yeah, because the spirit and mind to work, that it's an equal part. So yeah, I want to emphasize, and there's a lot just because of my own like how I feel when I just get to sweat through sports. Like, it's just a really good
It's
feeling.
so true. Yeah, I personally play volleyball as well right now, and I was not as good at volleyball as I was softball growing up. It definitely, I didn't put the same time, energy, and effort into it, and wasn't as maybe not, I would say I just didn't put the same time into it. And getting to observe our oldest niece as well, she is not the tallest on the team either. And it's interesting to watch coaches and how they're moving people and players around and all of that. But it'd be really fun if there's a movement where everyone is playing on a team, no matter the level, and ideally more for fun than anything else, for movement and for fun. And our volleyball team in the summer is definitely, we're not pros by any means, and we have so much fun moving our body, and I constantly have to get out of the competitive mode and bring myself back to this is to move and be outside and enjoying nature and fresh air.
Awesome. Yeah, you inspire me because I was thinking to go back to volleyball.
It's so much fun. And then to
Right.
watch yourself go from like really not good when you haven't served a ball or hit or done anything to a little bit better every year. It's so much fun because the consistency is there again, right?
Totally. Yeah. But also that we I want to emphasize this, like there should be more teams or it should be like this, like that it's for fun. So even if you suck for 3 years and there's only an improvement in the fourth year, it should just all be about the fun of it, you know? And that's the beauty of getting older. So you can be competitive, you know, for fun, but you don't have to because no one expects you to become a pro player anymore, which is nice, you know?
Absolutely. Oh, that's so
So,
fun. So can you tell us where can people find you? How can they learn about the film festival and
yeah,
connect?
so it's coopfilmfest.com, and we're having films, a lot of films from the US, but really from all over the world. And I'm really excited because the filmmakers and the cast, they booked tickets right away. They like the concept, so they're coming to Greece. I think it's also Greece is a good location because you know it's good to have a reason to come to Greece. And Athens is really the birthplace of physical excellence, right? With the Olympics being born here. And so it's a great place to revive this because the ancient Greeks totally believed in physical activity. So they would even lecture and just while they're walking, you know, to always be in the movement and to revive this feeling a bit here. Yeah, it's happening on 21st of May, so very soon. And I think like Athens is also a bit undiscovered by a lot of people because people come to Greece and then they go to the island directly. But Athens got really exciting the last years. I think I moved here, so I'm excited about Athens. So I want to also spread this in the world. It's really great to have the Greek community and the international audience brought together. And yeah, we'll be doing Ultimate Frisbee during the day with the Ultimate Frisbee Athens team, and then there will be the screening of five films.
Congratulations, girl. I'm so excited for you. So
Thank you so much.
for those of you who didn't who may or may not have understood, we will put the link in the show notes for sure, but it's COUP FILMFEST.com. So that's where you can go to check out some of what Melanie is up to. And thank you for coming today. Thank you for all your time. Thank you for what you're doing in the world.
Thank you so much, Jen. It's so great to be in contact with you now. And let's stay in contact. I'm really happy to have met you. This is what I love, to really connect with people from all over the world. We can do this, and we should.
So true. There's so many special beings in this world. So to highlight you and those that are living their dreams and journeys and being tapped on the shoulder and stepping in is so important. So thank you, Melanie. Thank you
Thank you
everyone
so
for
much for your positive energy.
All right. Well, until next week, everyone, have a great week. We will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for being on this journey with me. One of the most generous things you could do at this moment is head over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and rate and review this podcast if it touched your heart or helped you in some way. All of us here are wishing you a phenomenal day filled with love, abundance, and infinite possibilities. Until next time.